So Matthew chapter 14, starting at the 22nd verse, before we get there, Father God, I come before you this morning. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for yet another opportunity, God, to stand before your people. Lord, I know that it's not about me, but it's all about you. So as I decrease, God, I ask that you increase in this place, God, that you deliver a word that is for your people this morning, oh God, that will meet their very needs and the desires of their hearts, God. A word that is going to fix us, mold us, and shape us, and transform us into the men and the women that you have called us to be, God. Grant us the understanding down to the smallest one in the room, to the oldest in the room, oh God, your divine wisdom and understanding of your word. Let us not walk out of here confused, but with something that we can apply to our lives, God, something that will convict us, Father God, to repent and to live a life more radical for you than we did today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Once again, Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start at the 22nd verse, and for the sake of time, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Verse 24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind bolstering, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, whereof didst thou doubt? And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. And they that went in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. Amen. So we're going to talk about the faith before. And when you look at this scripture here, remember that where we are in scripture, the Bible had talked about in the very beginning that Jesus had sent them into the ship after he had sent the multitude away. So Jesus has been performing miracles at this time. He has been healing the sick. He's been feeding the multitude, his second account of feeding the multitude. And so you're not talking about, you know, brand new Jesus to the regarding the disciples. You're talking about someone who has seen some of the works that he has done, a lot of the works that he has done, a lot of the miracles that he's performed, how he walked on the water in this case. They've seen how he has healed the sick. They've seen how he's raised the dead. They've heard stories. But you're talking about someone who is very familiar with the things that God has done. Anybody familiar with the things that God has done in their life? Whether it was the things that he's done in your life personally or the lives of those people around you. Anybody been in ministry and you've seen God move and deliver some people, bring some people out of some things, raise the dead, amen? So, you know, even as believers, sometimes we have these little faith issues that we see here with Peter. So there's some things that we're going to point out, and I'm not going to be with you long. But how many know that God can move in any situation, regardless of the circumstance? The Bible talked about how they went into the ship, and the ship was kind of tossed with waves. You would think that, you know, the sea being a little rough, that, you know, naturally, that's not something you want to be on. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been on ship before. And fortunately, I don't get seasick. Oh, but there are people who do. There are people who have a rough time. I got this one brother. That brother was so seasick at times, he'd be trying everything. Everything, even the foolish things. Like, brother, what are you doing? He said, they say they'll help you with your seasick. I mean, brother, that's nothing but a bracelet. That's all that is. But people will try all kinds of stuff because what the waves would do to some people. You know, not everybody can handle it like others. But nonetheless, it's not something that people are really, you know, excited about at times. So the conditions that the disciples were in at this time were not the type of conditions that people would seek after. But how many know that regardless of what your situation is, regardless of what your life is looking like, God can move. Regardless of what your surroundings are like, not only can he move, but he will move. And what I really like about this, it wasn't that he was just moving, but he was moving towards them. He was moving towards them. He doesn't have to wait for things to kind of settle down in your life. But even in the roughest places that you've been in, some of the hardest of times, God is still in pursuit of you. How many of us know that this morning? That he's in pursuit of you, regardless of what your situation is. Anybody been in that place where you just felt like that, you know, there was no hope, that no one else could help you? You've tried everything, but then you looked up and you saw God, and you almost didn't recognize him. You almost didn't recognize him. This is what I like about the disciples here, because the Bible, it talked about how when they had seen him, they didn't even really recognize him, which is very interesting. Because understand this first and foremost, that God doesn't always move the way that we expect him or that we're used to him moving. He doesn't always move the way in which man tells us things are supposed to happen or things are supposed to subside. And sometimes we miss the movement of God because we have this expectation that he's supposed to deliver us this way, or he's supposed to, you know, restore things this way. Why? Because that's what we're used to. Prime example, let's take the doctor for an example. Sometimes we expect, you know, our issues to be just figured out or fixed because we go to the doctor and they give us this medication or give us this treatment. And it doesn't always turn out the way that we expect it to. And then sometimes you have those suddenlies. Those suddenlies when you find out, when you go back for a checkup, and they have no idea what happened. They have no idea. They can't explain. They say, you know, I can't explain it. All I can tell you is that I don't see it anymore. And I don't know about you, but that's something worth shouting about. I had a praise report this week. Hey, man, an individual reached out to me and some things that they were going through. And they had been praying. And how many know that, you know, sometimes when you pray and things don't happen immediately, sometimes it messes with your faith. Can we be real this morning? Because we put an expiration date on some things, and we send up a prayer and say, God, time sensitive. Lord, we need this done immediately. We put that urgent stamp on the envelope, don't we? God, this needs to be done open immediately for your eyes only, right? One of those things for God. And when he gets it, when we say that prayer up and we've reached out to other people, other believers, we've got the prayer warriors involved, but time goes on. Days, weeks, months, and even sometimes years, and we don't see any results. In fact, the results that we are seeing, they're actually going in the opposite direction in which we wanted them to go. And so we say, well, Lord, what am I doing? We had those Job moments at times, right? Or we have those moments where we start to do an inventory of our life to find that if we are living in sin now, this whole time you was confident that you was living right with God. Right? Yeah, that you was confident that you've been crossing all your T's, you've been dotting all your I's, and Lord, like you've been given an honest attempt in doing right and trying to live holy and righteous. But we kind of look at this thing like there's some magic formula to it, that if I just do this, then when I pray that's going to happen just like that. But it doesn't always happen. It's not like going to the vending machine where you press B7 and it falls out immediately. Sometimes that thing hangs there for a little bit, don't it? Sometimes, and then some of us, we're going to, by the time you're shaking the machine, you're going to go to jail, Byron. You can stop shaking people's machines. Or she said, or it gives you the opposite. But sometimes it doesn't always just get released into us. Amelia, and it messes with our faith at times. And say, Lord, what is it that I'm doing wrong? God, show me the error of my ways. Show me. We start to doubt all that we have done and all that we are doing. We start to question our ministry. We start to question all those things. But it wasn't. It had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with God. Remember, we've talked about over the years that sometimes God likes to allow you to get to that place called the impossible so that he can make it possible. It was never about you. That's what we mess up. We think that everything is about us. Our situation is about us. That report that we got that wasn't so favorable was about us. It had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with him being glorified. We were just a means of him being glorified in other people's life, of him being recognized in other people's lives. Because remember, the Bible tells us that they are saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. We've been talking about over the past few months now in your life being put on display. You going through things so that everyone can see how you move through them, so that everyone can see how God brings you out of it. It had nothing to do with you, but it had everything to do with those around you who needed to see God through you. Because remember, he never allows us to go through anything that we can't handle. Never allows us to go through anything that we can't handle, especially when we're living right. Now, some things we put ourselves in situations that we can't handle because of the things that we have done. Can we be real? Y'all remember those things that you messed up, and you can't blame the enemy and one of the demons for that. You can blame the person in the mirror. I did that. Had nothing to do with the other individual. That was all. I mean, there are consequences to our actions, right? But when we're talking about here, God is not always going to move the way in which we expect him to. We must understand that this is one of God's things. That we don't understand everything that there is to know about God. And because we don't understand everything there is to know about God, then you can expect sometimes those things, those surprises, those wow moments, those, oh God, that must have been you. Because it couldn't have been anything else. I can't explain it. So here we see here, the Bible says that over here in verse 26 specifically, verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Now, one of the things that we've been talking about is, once again, in the distance, you can pretty much tell who somebody is, depending on how well you know them. It could be dark outside, little alone, but by the way they walk and the way they stand, you can say, well, that's my wife right there. Look how she got a hand on the hip. That's my wife. I can't see the face, but that silhouette, the way she's walking in them heels, or the way that he's walking, the way he's got his hands in his pocket, his stance, I recognize that stance. I recognize that stride. I recognize that walk. Anybody recognize the movement of God? Anybody recognize the movement of God? So you're talking about the believers here, the disciples who have been with him for quite some time, who've witnessed firsthand the miracles, the acts of God, the acts of Christ. But when they saw him walk on the water, they didn't recognize the walk. So how much more so sometimes are we going to not recognize the walk? Because we weren't expecting to see this brother walk out on water. I've seen God do some things, but I ain't never seen him do that. What is that? That's new to me. And that's what I love about God, because he never ceases to amaze. He never ceases to amaze. And that's encouragement. Because when your situation gets to that place where you just feel like there's nothing that anyone else can do, God never ceases to amaze. He never ceases. He's not limited to anything. There is nothing that you are going through where he cannot get to you. The Bible says that when God stretches out his hand to bless or even to retrieve, who can turn back the hand of God? Who can turn back the hand of God? So when they saw him walking out on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out in fear. So their lack of recognition caused them to fear. Sometimes the movement is so divine, it'll cause you to need revelation. Sometimes God's movement in your life is so supernatural that maybe I'm not just right where I should be at, or right where I need to be at that moment, where I might need to tap into someone. Remember, the Bible says he gives us teachers, preachers, evangelists, and apostles for the perfecting of the saints. And I'm saying, I've seen God do some things in my life that I need to go get some clarification on, Apostle. My wisdom and my intellect of God alone will only take me so far. And that's why he gives us those Philips. He gives us our apostles to be able to go ask those questions. And what I might not have, the apostle might have the answer. God may have revealed it to him. Remember that he would reveal the interpretation of dreams to other people. So sometimes those things that God does in your life, it requires you to go get that deeper understanding. Get some more insight. Because I'm telling you, there's been times where God has moved in either in my life or in the lives of other people that I had to show them that was God, or someone had to show me that was God talking to me by way of this or moving by way of that. And that was when I was in my word. That was when I was on an honest attempt to live right. Amen. That deacon laughed up here. Don't act like we always all have been on an honest attempt to live right. Sometimes we've been in that place where we're just in a check in a box. Just come to church, get my good feel for the week, and then just get on back out there. I'll see y'all again next Sunday. Y'all not going to hear from me until, well, you might see me on Facebook. But that's about it. We had to get our good feeling for the week. But nonetheless, you know, it took some revelation at times for me to really see God. But what I like about it was that even in their darkest moments, in the troubling times, he simply said what in verse 27, and we're going to paraphrase. He says, relax, it's me. God says, it's kind of like a father that reaches out his hand when you're in trouble and you feel like you're by yourself and you just feel that hand just reaching in and just grab you. I says, relax, it's me, I got you. It's that peace in that chaotic place in your life. When you thought no one was going to come to your rescue, that's when he shows up. And he tells you, hey, no need to fear, because I'm here. And all that you need, I have. But when you're with me, and we've talked about this before. There was something I heard, you know, a few years ago when I was in Afghanistan. The chaplain had played this video clip. One of the things the video clip talked about that is it talked about that peace is not the absence of chaos in your life, but it's the presence of God. The Bible didn't say that, you know, the storms subsided when they looked at him. He was saying, for the most part, relax. I'm here with the storm or with the waves still tossing and turning. He says, peace is here. Wherever God is, that's where peace is, regardless of what your kids are sounding like, regardless of what your boss on the job is sounding like, your coworkers are talking about. Regardless of the commotion that's going on in the family, peace is wherever God is. And so that's what Jesus was really saying, is that be of good cheer because it's me. Don't be afraid. I like going down, it says that, watch this. Peter had an if this is you, God, moment. Anybody had any of those moments in their life? The if this is you, God? I had one of those ones. Y'all heard my testimony when it comes to ministry. Lord, if this is you, I'm going to need to hear this from you directly. Nobody else but you, because this is not what I want for my life. And sometimes we have those moments where, God, if this is you, I need you to clarify some things. I need you to reveal yourself to me personally, because what I'm hearing is and what I'm seeing is crazy. Anybody seen the crazy? Anybody heard the crazy coming from God? You just needed a clarification. And sometimes we go back for clarification more than once, don't we? Lord showed me that it was what he said it was, but Lord, I just one more time. I need you to cross that T and dot that I. Because it's one of those moments. But that's what Peter was saying. Peter said, like, Lord, if this is you, he says what to bid me to step out on the water. And Jesus' response was, come. So watch this. Out of obedience and trust, Peter did the impossible. Because the Bible says he had walked on water first. I like that. It wasn't he just got out of the boat and then started sinking. He walked on water for a bit. Out of the obedience and the trust in his Savior's voice, he was able to do those things in which people said that he shouldn't be able to do. Out of obedience and trust, you can do those things that people said that you will never, ever be able to do. One of the beautiful things about my job on the depot is that you really get to see a transformation in some of the young men, and in the case of some of these women here who know what I'm talking about, the young women. And we're getting ready to graduate here on Friday. And I remember looking at some of these young men over these last, oh, it was hot these last 2 days. I was out there the cruise. I thought I was going to go down Apostle. It was hot. I said, Lord, I cannot go to hell. This is hot. No. Mm-mm. But it was hot. We had a lot of kids just getting, the heat was getting the best of them. But I looked, you know, throughout some of the recruits, now Marines, and I saw some of those kids that I had to talk to earlier this cycle because they said, you know, I don't want to be here. This is the worst mistake I've made. I don't want to do this. We call it talking them back into the fight. And what is really moving is that you really see those individuals who had the I can'ts, and now you see the I cans out of them. You see the I didn't want to be here, so the I did moments. And I don't know about you, but that's it's an inspiration to me because realistically what they did was they trusted in their leadership, and they took the advice of those who had been pouring into them, and they went out and they conquered some of their fears, much like young Daniel did this morning. When he says, you know what, I'm a little nervous. I'm not used to singing in front of or with all those people up there. I said, well, Dan, we're going to do this together. And putting aside his fear, he gets up on the stage. And putting aside their fear, they jump off the tower into the water. And not some of them can't swim that well. Putting aside their fear, they go out and they qualify on the rifle range. And they end up accomplishing that which some people told them before they came down here that they would never be able to do. And some of us are still in a place in our life because we've listened to the naysayers for so long. And instead of trusting and obeying God, we've been marking time is what we call it. We've been standing stagnant because we didn't just step out of the boat. We didn't trust the voice of God. But if you would just trust the voice of God and you just be obedient to the instructions, regardless of how crazy they are, won't you walk on water? Won't you go out and do those things that people said you should never be able to do? Why don't you go out and accomplish those things that people said you would never be able to accomplish? You'll be the first one in your family with a bachelor's degree, the first one in your family with a master's degree, the first one in your family that owned your own home, to do all those things that people said you would never. I had this one recruit this cycle. It's unfortunate, but you know, it's about encouraging this individual. He told me that, you know, I have a learning disability. I said, stop telling people that. He says, no, I like first served this recruit as a learner. I have dyslexia and speech impediment. I said, stop telling people. You passed the ASVAB. But he was going off of what his mother told him. I said, I'm not telling you to disrespect your mother. Honor your mother. But look, let me tell you something. You keep believing stuff like that, and that's how you're going to live your life. You're not going to go after all those things that you could get. Because you have limited yourself. I don't believe that you can't learn. I believe that you might learn differently from other people. See, here's the thing. I might not get it the same way that Miss Courtney got it. I might not get it the same way that my brother got it. It doesn't mean that I can't do it. It just means that it might take me a little bit longer. It might take me a little bit more effort. It might take me to be on my knees a little bit longer, to fast a little longer, to depend on God just a little bit more, to get to where I need to be. But sometimes we will look at ourselves, we will look at our lives, and we will listen to all the limitations that people have placed upon us, and we don't go out and get all of those things and become every bit of who we're supposed to be because we have believed, even the closest people in our lives, and the things that they told us that we cannot do. The question is, did God tell you that you cannot do that? If God didn't say it, then why am I believing it? If he didn't tell it to me, then why am I trusting it? Especially when he has me on a path that contradicts everything that everyone else has been saying. He put us on a path sometimes that contradicts everything that everyone else has been saying. Everyone told you you couldn't do it, and here you are doing that very thing that people told you can't do. And when you run into just a little bit of challenge, you start to believe. Now, you wasn't believing the naysayers. Watch this. You didn't believe the naysayers when you signed the contract anyway. Apostle, they didn't believe the naysayers when they got on the bus anyway. It wasn't until it got a little bit challenging that they started listening to the naysayers. So why was I ignoring them then? And now I start to go back and I replay those words that they were saying. What happened to my faith? What happened to the faith that I had in my God, or what happened to the faith that I had in myself, or the trust that I had? What happened to those moments? It's kind of like Peter over here. So Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking in the water, and then all of a sudden the wind picks up, or he sees the waves and all this other crazy stuff kind of, wait a minute. He says, look, I didn't even realize that it was, that the weather conditions were like this at first. When I was looking at God, I didn't realize the conditions are the way that they are. But sometimes I get distracted. And when I get distracted, that's when I start running into problems. So what you see here with Peter, he says, or we see here in verse 28, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, come save me. So you have here a moment where he was looking at God, where he was looking at Christ, and he was trusting Christ. He was obedient to the voice of Christ, and he was prosperous. But then he looked at his situation. Anybody went into a situation trusting? You went into a situation with confidence, but then you started to look a little bit more in depth into your situation. This thing called doubt started to creep up, and then doubt started to look bigger than your God. The problem started to look bigger than your God because you shifted your focus from God to the problem. You shifted your focus from God to the situation, to the cancer, to the bills, to the job, to the people that have been giving you problems. And before you know it, you almost stumbled, or you started to slip because you lost sight of who giving you the authority, who giving you the ability to walk on water anyway, who gave you the ability to do the impossible. You was already in a position that you should not have been in according to anyone else in your life. You was already doing those things that people told you that you should not and you would not ever be able to do. And all of a sudden, life happens. Because here's the thing, sometimes we don't think that the journey is supposed to have those type of conditions. Sometimes we don't think the journey is supposed to happen. We get those instructions from God. And we trust and we obey the voice of God. And we have this idea that this is what the path is going to look like. Nice and flat, no valleys, no hills. But then when we get to the mountain, we get discouraged. And we either stop, contemplate, or we turn around. Instead of understanding that God never told you that your path will not be full of challenges. You look at all of the challenges that the disciples went through. I often refer back to just ministry in the Bible. I had a conversation with a young man a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about this thing called ministry. And the pastor said all the time, here's how I know that this is what I'm called to do, because it's not what I wanted to do. And I look at Moses, I look at John, and I look at the disciples. So their call looks very familiar to mine. They didn't want to do it either. They was chosen to do it, and out of obedience, they did it. But their lives, the path they were on, it had some challenges. Paul went through it when he got saved, when he was on the path that God had placed him on. The journey, that the path in front of him did not look as clear as one would think that it would. This is the God that I serve. God told me to do this. So why would he have not given me something easier to go through? I'm walking in obedience. But that's not what the journey always entails. Remember that we go through things for what? For other people. To see how you're going to come out on the other end. To really kind of build the character as well. To build your faith as well. When you get to those places called impossible, it causes you to get lower to the ground, to turn to him more, to get a deeper relationship, to trust him more. Say, God, look, you put me on this journey. You put me on this path. And if you put me on this path, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And as hard as it is at times, I'm going to, what we call, tighten down our pack, lace up our boots, and I'm going to keep moving forward because I'm going to trust you more than what I see in front of me. I'm going to trust your voice over my eyes. And that's a tall order at times because what you see is what you tend to believe. I tell people all the time, look, I don't need you to tell me how great of a drill instructor you are. I'm going to look at your recruits. Because what I see tells me everything. I'm going to believe more so what I see than what you say. But it's a little bit different with God. I have to believe what I hear from God. That's what trust, that's what faith is. Saying, look, what I see may not always match up with what I'm hearing. May not always match up with what I'm getting out of my devotion. May not always match up with what the pastor is telling me on Sunday mornings. May not match up with what the Phillips in my life are saying to me. What may not match up to what the mother of the church is telling me. I have a great opportunity in front of me. I'm looking at it. What are you telling me? This doesn't make sense. It doesn't match up. But sometimes that opportunity was a trap. Sometimes that opportunity was just a distraction. Were you going to trust what God said more so than what your eyes were seeing? Sometimes we see the digits. We see the things of this side of Jordan, the treasures and the things that we store up here, opposed to hearing. Remember that Christ tells a young man, he says, hey, sell all that you have. And prior to that, the brother said, I'm good. He says, look, you told me to be a good person, to do this, to do that, don't do this, don't do that. I've done all of those things my whole life. Oh, but sell all that you have. And he said he struggled with that. He struggled with getting rid of all of his possessions, turning away from the life in which he had acquired, that he had obtained. And that's what this life is about, is being able to walk away from everything to follow what should be our everything. It's difficult at times, especially with the society that we live in and how we grew up. You look at our responsibility as adults to provide for our families. And sometimes the choices that are placed before us causes us to say, well, you know what, God, am I going to do this or am I going to do that? But out of obedience and trust, Peter did the impossible. Looking to God, I'm able to travel through things that I should not have been able to. But watch this. So Peter's surroundings had intimidated him. Fear was able to be put back in him because he lost sight of Christ. Fear was able to be put back inside of him because he lost sight of Christ. Remember the Bible talked about how earlier when they first saw him, they feared because they thought it was a spirit. Then he had a conversation with God or with Christ, stepped out of the boat in trust. Then all of a sudden he started looking at his situation and his surroundings started to intimidate him. So it put fear back in him because he stopped looking at peace and started looking at his situation. Sometimes that right there is the very foundation of our fear, is our situation, because we've lost sight of God. We've lost sight of the things of God, of what we should be doing and who we should be listening to. And so we walk and we make decisions based off of our fear opposed to our faith. It's because our faith will sometimes have us to do things that doesn't match up with what fear is telling us. Fear is telling you to go into this place called self-preservation. Faith is telling you just to trust God, regardless of what the situation looks like. Regardless of what it even feels like. But as we get ready to close for the sake of time, remember the Bible talked to us about how when he started looking at his situation and it was able to kind of put fear in him and he started to sink. What Peter did know was where his help came from. Regardless of what he started to do in the situation, he knew exactly where his help came from. He didn't try to save himself. He didn't call to the other disciples. He didn't call to anybody else other than his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says immediately he stuck out his hand and he grabbed him. He saved him. Do we know where our help comes from this morning? Do we understand that if we just call upon the name of Jesus, that he's ready and he's willing and he's waiting to stick his hand out and to pull you out of whatever situation that you're in, regardless of how you got there, regardless of our lack of faith at times, regardless of our disobedience at times, if you would just call upon Jesus, he'll be there. So what I want to leave you with this morning is I want you to take a moment. I want you to look back to before. What happened to your faith that you had before you got out of the boat? What happened to your faith? Did you really allow your situation to zap away your faith? There's absolutely nothing that you have going on in your life that God cannot handle. In fact, just like in this situation with the disciples, God is actually moving in the middle of all of it. He's moving in the middle of all of it. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, wherever you are in your life, he can get to you. I believe he's already there. There's absolutely no place that you can slip to that he cannot reach out and save you from. There's absolutely no place, no, or how far you have fallen, that his arms cannot reach out and grab you from. Stop believing the naysayers that says that, you know, you can never get right. You've done too much wrong in your life. Stop believing yourself at times that you say, you know what, I've just messed it up too bad. I've gone too far. There's no way that God can forgive or can love somebody like me again. Because regardless of where you are, in those impossible situations, in the impossible that stares back at you in the mirror, he says, fear not, for it is I. And I've come to be with you. Just call on me, and I got you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want us to take a moment and think about where we are in our relationship with God. I mean, think about all the moments that you might have looked more into your situation and it caused you to stumble, it caused you to sink like Peter because you lost sight of him. Just like Peter this morning, you can restore that today. This very moment. Do you know where your help comes from? Do you know that he is more than able and willing, and he wants to, he has a desire to save each and every one of us? All we have to do is call on him. And it doesn't have to be some fancy prayer. It just needs to be you and God. So wherever you are in your relationship this morning, ask yourself this question. If this was my last moment and God were to call me home or the Son of Man would return, where would I spend eternity? Am I considered perfect in the eyes of God right now? Will he look at me and say, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant, because he has considered me righteous? And if not, we can fix that this morning. If you draw near unto him, he'll draw near unto you. It is not his desire that any should perish, but all should obtain everlasting life. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And when we accept him as Savior of our life, we have become righteous. We have become whole. We have become what God considers perfect, which is what he accepts, which is what he expects. And maybe you've been in a place where you've backslid. This is also your moment where, like Peter, you've lost sight of God. Don't try to go home and get your life together and come back and get to the altar. In fact, we're not even going to get out of our seats this morning. It's going to be you and God right where you are. Because this is about your heart, not about where you stand at in the house of God, but where your heart is at. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, as I pray, I ask that you pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the word that you've poured out upon your people. This morning, God, as we look into our lives and we see the things that we may have done, we look into all the things that may have stolen our focus from you to it, our situations, our circumstances, our problems, our challenges. God, this morning we want to repent and we want to say, Lord, that we're sorry and we want to get back to this place in you where you can look upon us and you call us righteous, just like you called Job righteous. It's not what we have done, but it's what you've done on the cross for us. So like Peter, God, we recognize you as the Savior of our life. We know this moment where our help comes from. And there's no one else who can help us, not mama, not daddy, not apostle, not pastor. But this is you, God. So this very moment, God, we turn our hearts over to you and we ask that you forgive us for our sins. We ask that you forgive us for all of our shortcomings. And we simply say the four-letter word, help. Help us to be everything that you have called us to be. Help us to come out of our situations. Help us to stay more focused and committed to you. Help us to be more obedient to your word. Help us to recognize you more in our lives. Help us to make you priority in our lives. Everything that we have done up to this point, God, we have fallen short, God. I've fallen short time and time and time again. I cannot do this by myself. I need your help, God. And so, God, as I turn my heart over to you, I pray right now, God, that you give me the strength, the guidance, and the wisdom to be exactly what you have called and what you have purposed me to be. I'm going to thank you right now, God, for the change that has taken place in me right now. I'm going to thank you right now for the strength that you have already leased upon me, God. I'm going to thank you for the greater obedience this very moment. Those things that we prayed, God, I believe this very moment by faith that you have already released them upon me. Salvation has been restored upon me. I am not the same. I refuse to be the same. I refuse to believe that I am the same. Because you said in your word, God, that, Lord, if we turn unto you, you've demonstrated in your word that if we turn unto you, God, that you would reach out and you would catch us when we fall. You've demonstrated in your word time and time again, God, that if we would cry out to you, that you will stretch out your hand and you will snatch us back into the fold, oh God. So this morning, God, we thank and we praise you for your loving arms being wrapped around us. We thank and praise you for not turning your ear from us, oh God, but turning your ear to us and restoring all that has been lost. These things we pray and we ask in your darling son, Jesus' name. Amen.